progress, make your money longer. I got love for the ghetto, love for the hood, love for the people that turn the bad into good, love for the people that think that it could be worse, love for the people that's putting their family first. I got love for the ghetto, love for the hood, love for the people that turn the bad into good.
What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is the great volume boy, Ray Nitti, holding it down on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. DJ Brother Z holding it down with the production and sound. We talking about this American dream, y'all. Laron Taylor says, minimum wage gives you minimum wage talent. I agree. So what do $2.13 an hour talent get you? What do that get you? I don't know. What does this look like in Milwaukee? All right. Fact checked by Wisconsin Policy Forum, UW-Madison Institute for Research on Poverty. All right. And we talked about it on a prior show. He says, I pay my staff that much because they're smart, courteous. That's what I'm saying. I feel like that's my point. Like, why not just pay people? Because then you'll get more motivated people that want to come and work. You'll get a higher, I'm assuming. I haven't ran a restaurant business yet. Educate me, Laron, please. I would assume, like, the better you pay, the more quality employee base you would be able to attract, which would then mean you would be offering a higher quality of service to your customer base. And it sounds like you got your program down to a dope situation to where you don't even have to have that many staff on hand. So your overhead sounds like it's like, okay, I don't got 15 servers running around. And we know that the restaurant industry lives off of very thin margins. That's why a lot of people want to add liquor to their restaurant menus, because that helps with the small margins on the food margins. We know alcohol is marked up 400%. We know that for a fact. And it depends on which state you in. Because a bottle of Ciroc in Milwaukee is not the same as Ciroc in L.A. or Vegas. I remember when I was heavy out, you was getting a bottle for $160 plus 20% gratuity. You was paying like $210, $200, something like that. But in L.A., Atlanta, that same bottle, $2,600. Two G's. I'm just saying, the markup is crazy out here. But Milwaukee's black home ownership rate sits around 27.5%, less than half the white home ownership rate of 72%. Home ownership is the single biggest lever for the kind of generational wealth the American dream promise depends on. All right? I'm going to read that again, because that's a very, very important. Home ownership is the single biggest lever for the kind of generational wealth the American dream promise depends on, and it's structurally out of reach for most black Milwaukee families. because of things like what? Redlining, us not getting awarded loans, us not even being allowed to buy properties, or even back in the day when, you know, they had lots and homes that they were selling to white people at $8,000, but they said, oh, do not sell these homes to black people, and those homes then grew into $300,000, and today probably $400,000, $700,000 that they were able to just hand that generational wealth down, but we weren't able to participate in it back in the day. So we were never able to pass that generational wealth down to our families. We were blocked out from it. And now pick yourself up by your boots. Strap your boots up and pick yourself up. The average white household nationally holds a net worth of $171,000, roughly 10 times the average black household, $17,150. UW Milwaukee economist Mark Levine has found black Milwaukeeans are financially worse off relative to white residents today than 40 to 50 years ago. Meaning the gap isn't closing, it's widening in the exact city this show broadcasts from. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about what is your elected official? What is a politician? What is a governor? What is somebody going to do for black families in this state, in this city? Because it's one of the worst places to raise black families, while it still has the narrative of being one of the greatest places to raise white families. How could those two exist? We should be ashamed that that's a real stat. What up, Jazz? We should be ashamed that that's a real stat. Milwaukee's own reading crisis. We already know this. We covered it on this show before. Only 27% of MPS fourth graders test at even a basic reading level. Worst around, Jesus. Worst among major U.S. cities except Detroit. And my neighbors and my cousins that can't read, they read worse than us down there. Detroit is the front end of the same broken pipeline. That's why I ask a question. What does fully funded MPS look like? What do it look like? What do it look like? What do it look like? You got to show me. You got to show me what it look like, dog. You can't just keep telling me. Without real educational foundation, the work hard and get ahead promise never even gets a fair start. The American dream is a lie, man. This is the American trap. It's the American trap. While this country was made off of the backs of immigrants, blacks, slaves, Caribbeans, American slaves, but we were left out the most. We were held out the most. We were blocked the most, hated on the most. When we tried to build up, they bombed it from the skies, fam. Burnt down, blew up Tulsa, Oklahoma. We had my nephew on the show. That's the American dream. As a people who was forced into labor to build this country and was also forced to be left out of everything that could help propel their generations forward, we were left out of it deliberately. Deliberately. They blew it up. So when you say pull yourself up by your bootstraps and then we show you that we did, and don't, please don't think Tulsa, Oklahoma was just the only spot. Y'all ever been to Central Park in New York? You know the real story of Central Park? It was a black town. Where free slaves had settled, and then they took that land away. Let's go back on Tulsa before we even get to Central Park. They built highways through Tulsa to make it damn near impossible for us to rebuild. And then now the things that are still around from Greenwood is hardly even owned by people that look like us anymore. So imagine you live in a country that was taken, the land was taken from Native Americans, and you, even Native Americans got reservations. They gave them land. We got nothing. We got told, right. I couldn't hear you, Jeff. Yeah, they educated me on that. But I know an oppressed people got something. And they almost killed all of them. They almost wiped all of them out. Then they just gave them land and said, go way over there. But then they also was able to do things like own reservations, own gambling places, Potawatomi. They get a lot of breaks. But we don't, you know, they just close all the businesses around and blame it on niggas. Nobody going to that damn strip club. Get the hell out of here with that. I'm just saying, y'all, when we come back, I want to talk about why are American products cheaper abroad than in America? And I had to look it up because I'm like, why am I paying less for all these American products in Poland? And when I get back to America, it's like twice as much. Stop playing with me, man. This is a great vine on your award-winning 101.7 The Truth. We eat on my better. Shoot, bro. Shout out. What up, y'all? What up? What up? What up? Welcome back. Welcome back. It's your boy Ray Nitty holding it down on the grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, live from the American Family Insurance Studios. Man, we're talking about the American dream, y'all. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. 833-212-1017 is the number to dial. Man, why are American products cheaper abroad? Why do we have to pay more here for things that are made here? Help me understand. But they said it is documented, confirmed via University of Chicago Health, Economics Research, and Standard International Trade Economics. This one's real and well documented. It's called international price discrimination. And pharmaceuticals are the clearest example. Americans often pay close to 3 times more for the exact same medicine, sometimes made in the exact same factory as patients in other wealthy countries. What's the core reason? Most other wealthy countries directly negotiate or cap drug prices nationally through their government health systems. The U.S. largely doesn't. Medicare only recently got limited negotiating power. Only recently. So companies can charge whatever the market bears here while accepting lower government capped prices elsewhere just to access those markets at all. So they charging. Like, imagine living in a country that is knowingly getting you sick and charging you astronomically high prices for the cure. Imagine that. From the food to the environment to everything. And then price gouging you on the cure for the conditions that they created. A University of Chicago analysis found the U.S., with under 5% of the world's population, funds roughly 3/4 of global pharmaceutical industry profits, meaning American consumers are effectively subsidizing lower drug prices for the rest of the developed world. Think about that, Dodd. That's the American dream right there. All right. I'm going to read it again, though. The University of Chicago analysts found the U.S., with under 5% of the world's population, funds roughly 3/4 of the global pharmaceutical industry profits, meaning American consumers are effectively subsidizing lower drug prices for the rest of the developed world. Sometimes I get a headache reading all of these insane stats because it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The same basic patterns. Charge what each market will bear. Charge what each market will bear shows up in electronics, cars, and consumer goods too. Companies price to each country's competition level. Consumer price sensitivity and regulatory environment. Not to some fixed, fair global price. LaRon says, well, my medicine comes from Canada and India because it's too expensive to get from Walgreens. I would love for you to even educate me on how does one even qualify to even get their medicine from Canada or India? I would love for you to educate me on that because that sounds like something Americans probably should be taking advantage of. Why? This is the American, it's supposed to be the land of the free, the home of the brave. All these things that they propped up this country to be. And it ties back to the segment 3 that we did directly. This is one more concrete way the cost side of the American dream math is stacked against the average person here. Americans aren't getting worse product. They're picking up the tab other countries negotiated their way out of. So when you got these foreign countries that negotiated whatever, they raise it to make up the difference that they didn't get from Canada, I'm assuming. I don't know. However the deals work, and maybe we need to do a deep dive on that. What did the negotiations look like? Because we're programmed to spend. Overconsume, overuse, overeat, over everything, overindulge. That's what's going on. Why? We got to start asking these questions. Why are the... We went to Poland. I didn't even want nothing from the gas station, but I just ended up going to the gas... Yes, I did. I wanted something to drink. But even... I'll even say it like this. The mini bar in the hotel. You so scared to even touch anything in your mini bar fridge in America because you know that water going to be $12 if you drink it. That beer going to be $15 if you drink it. That little shot of Hennessy going to be $27 if you crack the seal on it. We went through like three fridge fulls of, I don't even think it was $30. I'm telling y'all, man, I feel like this country is scamming us, man. And we just falling for it. We just busy focusing on everything else around us, on all the viral taglines, all the dances. And we don't realize we getting screwed. We don't realize it. How is American products, American-made products, cheaper in another country? That doesn't make sense to me. If anything, it should be more in the other country because we have to export it to them. All these tariffs, we are the ones eating the cost on these tariffs. And they just raise our prices on every... I just saw another article and... They gonna hate me for saying this, but We Energy's getting ready to propose raising our bills again. How do we determine these things? Who comes up with when is it good to raise prices on energy? I thought we just had one of those. I thought we just had an energy rise. When we come back, y'all, on the other side of this break, I want to talk about how far we still have to go. How far do we still have to go? Is this American dream attainable? Don't go anywhere, y'all. You are listening to Ray Nitti on the Grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 True. What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. It is your boy, Ray Nitti, holding it down on the Grapevine. DJ Brother Z holding it down with the production and sound. We talking about the American dream today, y'all. Is it a lie? I think it's a lie, man. I want to talk about how far we still have to go. How far we still have to go. We talked about a lot today on the show, man. We talked about what the American dream actually promised. Talked about how it's supposed to be set up to where the kids make more than the generation that they came from. We talked about the broken promises, right? You're less likely to out-earn your parents than ever. We also talked about the math doesn't work anymore. We even talked about population control and what it looks like in Milwaukee. Then we also got into why are American products cheaper? Then LaRon on our Facebook chat, not Facebook, YouTube chat, shared some information with us. He said he sends his prescriptions to India and Canada to get filled. I didn't even know that was possible. And he says 70% cheaper. He says, have your doctor sit. First of all, hit the button. The views and opinions.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests of this program are of their own and not a reflection of Milwaukee Black Media or 1017 The Truth.
All right. Now that we got that out the way. He said, have your doctor send a prescription to Big Mountain Drugs in Canada. I think that's the name of it, but your doctor will know the Canadian pharmacy will contact you then, and then you provide them with a voided check so they can directly withdraw from your checking account, and they will send you your prescription at probably a 70% saving. He said he's been doing it for 3 years. These are some medicines that's probably made in America that he got to go to Canada to get it cheaper. This is the American dream. The American scam, we should say. He says this process also may take 6 weeks, so don't wait until you run out of your prescription. I got to look into this. I'm not on any prescription, but I'm getting at the age where I might have to start thinking about getting some things prescribed. Everything still works right now. Still standing. So, I gotta look into this. I gotta look into this, y'all. But how far do we still have to go? How far do we still have to go? A promise that 92% of Americans could once count on is now a coin flip. A country that ran and admitted documented sterilization program targeting Black women for 50 years. A city, Milwaukee we talking about, where the wealth gap has gotten worse, not better, worse over the last 4 decades. So the honest answer to how far do we have to go . I don't know if it's just that easy of an answer. But I know we got to go further than just one election. Because, as we stated, they put this tipping thing in after the Civil War as a means to not have to pay newly freed slaves. Blacks. Now it's just here today as mandatory 18 to 25% gratuity. It's here today as a common practice that you get frowned upon if you don't tip. But when do we start frowning upon not paying people a fair livable wage? Yes, we got it. We have a conversation that needs to happen about attitudes and service. Terrible service. I remember at a point where you could request to take the gratuity off of a check. I remember that. I don't even think it's, they put it on the bottom of the menu now, like they doing you a favor, like gratuity is mandatory and we don't split checks. Well, excuse me. So how far do we have to go? I think the bigger question is, how much more of this are we willing to tolerate? How much more of this are we willing to tolerate and just be distracted about? It's gonna have to be further than one election, one policy, or one generation is likely too close. Chetty's own research says closing this gap requires a fundamental change in how growth gets distributed, not just more growth. That's a much bigger ask than most political promises currently on the table. Remember when we had the show and we was talking about Milwaukee doesn't have a resource problem. Milwaukee has a problem how it distributes its resources. The same usual suspects get the resources all the time, while people that are on the ground doing amazing work trying to transform the city keep getting the scraps. Keep having to fight over the scraps. Still have a shortage in mentors needed for Big Brothers Big Sister program. It's a waiting list over 400 kids. I want us to think about these things. How much of this are we still going to tolerate? And I got to choose my words right wisely because I don't want to incite nothing. Meanwhile, nobody going to the courthouse or anything, or you know what I'm saying? And acting like the January 6th people. Had to say it in my accent to throw them off, Brother Z. Meanwhile, Satan no riot before they see amid the conversations happening on the truth, there was more violence, so we have to close down more things. I feel like that's the next wave of things we're about to see here now. We're going to see a closure of businesses and I just got an idea where said blame is going to be put. And we don't do ourselves no favors. Let's be honest with that, too. As a community, we don't do ourselves no favors. We don't. We don't help the... We help push the narratives that's destroying us. So I ask this question. How much of this will we tolerate? How much will you start to demand in the future from your elected officials? Speaking of elected officials, I saw Mayor Cavalier Johnson is overhauling the flock cameras now. I saw something like that just recently came out, so we'd love to get into that on tomorrow's show. But it's because enough people have been putting pressure on elected officials. It's been enough talks about the things that people don't want and what people won't tolerate. And because you have humans abusing systems, taking advantage of systems. That's how far we have to go. Don't go anywhere, y'all. When we come back, we're going to close this thing out. But I want us to sit with this and really think about, what did the American dream mean to you? What was it in your eyes? All right? Don't go anywhere, y'all. It's your boy Ray Nitti on your award-winning 101.7 The Truth. What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. It's your boy Ray Nitti holding it down on the grapevine. Man, look what I'm. We're talking about this American dream, y'all. And as we get ready to close this thing down, we're closing with the question, how far do we still have to go? And we said it's going to take more than just one policy or one generation. Institutions built these gaps through documented, on-the-record policy choices. All right? They built these gaps through documented, on-the-record policy choices, and closing them is going to take documented, on the record policy choices too. So that's why I was asking Ms. Hong, what was the plan for us? That's why I was asking the importance of like getting stuff done, your track record on getting stuff done, because you have no documented experience of getting nothing done. So I can't send you to fight on my behalf. But what I would like to see is, once Crowley does win governor, because I believe that, I would like to see him help her get some of her policies through. Help her get some wins under her belt. Then I'd love to see her, I don't know, run against Ron Johnson. I think she'll win. It's just my thoughts. Mandela couldn't do it. But anyway, it's going to take a lot, y'all. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take new leaders. And I hate to say it, but guess what? We're going to have to vote. And I'm not just saying we're going to vote our way out of systemic racism, because a lot of the systemic racism that we suffer from is mental oppression that we carry ourselves. As a community, we can't get out of our own way. As individuals, we can't get out of our own way because we're too dependent on substances, on crutches, on things of the government. We're too stagnant by social media, by all of these other things. We too distracted. We ain't locked in. We too separated. We too divided as a black people, from our political views to even how we treat our men and women. We not even on the same page as a black race with our women. That's one of the hugest problems we have to fix. First, let's get on the same page with each other first. Then after we get on the same page with each other first, we could then get on the same page politically together as a strong, organized voting bloc that's going to demand policy change, people distributing resources evenly, demanding that policies are put in place to hold corporations accountable for poison in black communities. But we don't vote like that. We don't vote like that. We don't pay attention to things like that. We don't. But what our community did know is that dude that was faking like he was an NFL player. We was all over that. We was all over that. And I'm going to close with this. I wasn't here when we was able to talk about the whole garage band, garage bar situation. People thought it was about going back to the... I've never been. I don't care to go. But when we allow people to label an entire group as one thing when it is not, that is where the dangerous things start to happen. Because as somebody who put time, effort, energy, blood, sweat, tears, and money, sacrifices into helping being a part, a small part of what this Milwaukee music scene has become and grown into, hell no, I'm not going to sit around and just let somebody say all Milwaukee rap. That's disrespectful to Ishtar. That's disrespectful to Wave Chappelle. That's disrespectful to Jazzy Blanco. That's disrespectful to Classic. That's disrespectful to the homies on the South Side doing hip-hop Milwaukee rap. It's a ton of artists. So when you just lump everybody in and give this blanket statement, hey, man, say, man. Yeah, I'm not going to allow it. No, you're not going to push that narrative at all. And then you got white people asking me what violent lyrics has Machine Gun Kelly said. And then when you give them the lyrics, they disappear. So, no. It was like, oh, it was just about, it was 40 yards, just the name of it. It says, no Milwaukee. We always allow people to play in our face. Do our community have issues? Absolutely. But let's talk about the issues of these bars allowing underage people in it drinking. Over-serving. People that's already drunk, they selling them more bottles, more tequila, more Jägermeister bombs. So yeah, if you got a traumatized community and you over serving them, the trauma is going to spill out. And it don't just be us. It don't just be us. So let's start demanding more as a community. Let's start holding each other accountable. Yes, 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 accountability does need to happen within our community. 100%, 1,000%. But people also need to be accountable, held accountable for trying to place a blanket statement and on an entire scene that has worked so hard to get to where it is today. So how far do we have to go? The American dream, right? The American dream has seemingly been very closely tied to blaming Negroes for all of their problems. Problems that they created, conditions that they created, conditions that they lobbied for, created policies for, told folks not to sell these $8,000 homes to Negroes that later turned into 790K homes that they were able to hand down to their families. We weren't able to participate in that generational wealth transfer. We were deliberately held out of it. They flooded our cities and turned them into lakes. They took Central Park. They took that black community and made it Central Park. They bombed Tulsa, Oklahoma. I could keep going, but I know Jazzy gonna go upside y'all head right now on this tap in. So thank y'all once again for y'all time. I'll see y'all tomorrow on the Grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. I'm gonna close y'all with this quote. The function of freedom is to free someone else, by Toni Morrison. The goal was never just individual escape. It was making the ladder actually climbable for whoever comes next. I'm out, y'all.